Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, brothers and sisters from around the world, and welcome back. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, Mr. Jason Blagg. Glad to be with you all here this evening. I think we've got our issues, for the most part, here taken care of. So we're going to go ahead and restart tonight's program. Thank you very much for joining us here tonight. What we've been talking about is Native American is the new white. And you know what? I was going to be nice about this, but I've decided I'm not going to be nice about this anymore. And they really should have just left me the hell alone. But you got to understand, this is the black media. We are the black media. We go super heavy about this. We go super heavy. So in this situation here, I just feel it is necessary for me not to back down. It is necessary for me to double down. So I was about to just pack up my toys and go home, but I said no to double hell with that. So we are back on the scene like James Brown, and we're going to do what we got to do here. Now, the Supreme Court, as you all are aware here from what I said earlier, they have been handing out tangibles like government cheese to literally anybody and everybody who shows up at the courthouse steps now, everybody except black people. And a lot of black folk are going to be confused because they're going to be telling themselves, well, you got to understand, this is tangibles for everybody here. I mean, it ain't really tangible for everybody. I mean, is we breaking down the system of white supremacy. Yes, we is. We breaking it down. People, let me be very, very clear about this. If you are not distributing resources to black people, you ain't changing the system of white supremacy, period. If what you are measuring is not going specifically to us, you ain't changing nothing. You're not changing anything at all. You understand the trick bag comes into effect. If they exclude us, then understand it ain't changing the system. Why do you think they're so ready to line up for everybody else? Well, Jason, you know, what about LGBT? They're talking about white folk. They ain't talking about black people. They're talking about white LGBT. Oh, yeah, and white bisexuals. So white LGBT, that's them. Well, Jason, what about women? That's white women. That's the oldest trick bag. What next, nigga? What about illegal aliens? Ah, now we get into illegals and so-called, quote, immigrants. These are people who identify as white supremacists, who identify with white supremacy. So those are the people you're talking about there. They identify with the system. So you ain't gonna be able to get around it at that point. Well, Jason, what about Native Americans? Oh, these are white folk masquerading as something that they are not because they found a loophole in the system. Now, most white folk don't want to give up their direct white privilege. But just like white supremacy has been able to assimilate just fine with Latinos, it's going to be able to assimilate just fine with Native Americans because so many of them are actually white people who understand that it is the family tradition to identify as Native American, not for genetic purposes, but for political purposes. And it should be, once again, remember the metric by which we determine whether or not white supremacy is being destabilized is black people receiving resources. And who was first and foremost to get in the line and say black folks should not get resources? Native Americans, or should I say so-called Native Americans. The Native Americans and the so-called Native Americans have all gotten together and said black folk shouldn't receive anything from Native Americans gaining resources. Even if black people have treaties and agreements to say we're supposed to, we're going to nullify that when you niggas showed up. So these are all different shades of white. Native American is the new white. So we as black folk don't need to cape for anybody because everybody is in it against us. Native American is the new white. And because I have decided I'm going to double down on messing up the program here, if we're going to go in, we might as well go all the way in. Therefore, hang on to your hats, ladies and gentlemen, from around the world. The telephone lines are now open. The number is 646-787-1933. That's 646-787-1933, your personal access code to the black media. As we are witnessing here this week, when I tell you all that in places like Atlanta, when I was mentioning on my program last night, winning the war and losing the peace, we as black people, if you have to understand why we have to institute our own laws and systems among us as a people, cultural laws and cultural practices among ourselves as a people, this is the reason why. Because every other community in America, every other ethnic community in America you go into, they've got established practices that supersede the laws of the land. They go have common practices among themselves that supersede your laws. They supersede all of that. They're not playing this game with you at all. So as a people, understand that when they start breaking this down, right now what they're doing is divvying up the country for the next 500 years. So you are going to have white people in charge of the wealth. You're going to have white people masquerading as Native Americans who present their alternative wing. You are going to have immigrants who identify with white supremacy to be their buffer class. And the only real force that destabilizes white supremacy, black people, is supposed to be marginalized by everybody else. That's the goal of all of this. Is to have us marginalized by everybody else. So this is not a game. This is not a game. This is not a game at all. And as black people, I want you to understand that.
This is not a game.
We're going to go ahead and open up the telephone lines. Caller from area code 215. You're on live with the Black Channel.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Turn off your speakers.
I'm the first caller. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yeah, you're right about everything, of course. You're 365.
What is your name and where are you calling from?
Brahim, Philadelphia.
Brahim from Philadelphia, what's on your mind?
I'm listening closely to the broadcast, and you're accurate as far as the Indians getting their reparations and all other groups is getting their reparations, but when it comes to us, there's nothing they can do, man. Their hands are tied behind their backs, and there's so many rules and regulations and processes to go through. It's BS, man. I completely agree. And I don't understand as a group, we don't understand.
We do understand it, brother. I mean, you do have to understand it. Right now, we are realizing the legacy of so-called integration. When the goal became integration, that means basically everybody else is going to look out for us. Like we're going to look out for them. That was what black people interpreted integration to mean. We're going to look out for everybody else like we've been doing because we don't mean nobody no harm. And now finally it will be the law of the land that everybody's going to look out for us. That was the way that we interpreted integration to mean. And what we found out is it was a damn fool and a damn lie. Nobody's going to look out for you but you. Everybody else has used that as their opportunity to take more from you. So right now, for the last 50 years, we've been operating under this cowardly buck dancing ass practice that the civil rights generation created. And we are the first generation that has said, you know what? We are officially ruling that integration is a lie and a failure. We're officially saying that we're abandoning this idea and this fallacy of quote-unquote integration. We're abandoning it altogether. We don't want anything more to do with chasing integration. We want reparations, i.e. empowerment. We want tangibles. We want tangible resources. We want tangible substances. We want tangible benefits, and we want them specifically for black people and specifically for the descendants of American slaves who have been denied and victimized at every level. Please understand, this was not what was said during the civil rights generation. Started off that way, but when it was time to make the laws, all of a sudden we started letting them flick crumbs off the table. The laws should have reflected our rhetoric. Dr. King was talking about things for the Negro. But when it was time to make the laws, we allowed them to make laws that said, okay, minorities, women, LGBT. So our rhetoric was saying black people, but the execution and the laws said everybody else. Well, said everybody. And that's where we messed up at, because we were correct what we were saying in the streets. We were correct in what we were saying at the protests. We were correct in what we were saying at the March on Washington. Our rhetoric was accurate, but we didn't insist that, no, if the laws don't reflect our rhetoric, then no justice, no peace in this son of a gun. That's what we should have stuck to. Now, today we understand we can't let them get away with word games and semantics anymore. If they don't specifically say it's for us, then they're not talking to us, and we don't trust them, and we're not going to let you assume anything. So we're finally understanding and getting hip to the game after all this damn time of insisting and not accepting any substitutes, because before now we were accepting substitutes. Now we no longer are. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Let me get caller from area code 770. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
What's going on, Jason? This is Gary out of Atlanta.
Gary out of Atlanta, what's on your mind?
What's going on, Jason? I'm calling because my best friend, he's a black and white mix, but he has a Native American background. And one of those tribes you showed, he's part of it. And they told him that the only reason why they gave him tribal membership was because he was part white. And he told me this about 2 years ago. And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, they outright told him, well, the only reason why we gave it to you is because you're part white.
Well, as black people, you got to understand there's a whole bunch of black folk here in America who have Native American blood, brother. I mean, there's a lot of y'all. If you check your history, you're going to find a couple of Native Americans in that family tree. And I'm not just talking about from Aboriginal African descent. I'm talking about what they commonly consider to be Native Americans or the red man or whatever. You're going to find that. You got way more people of African ancestry who have legitimate Native American DNA. But what you are witnessing now is a political movement. We have to call it for what it is. Because it's not just the $5 Indians. It's also the Aboriginal Native Americans who have gotten together with the oppressor class. But it shouldn't be surprising when you understand that, hey, they were slave owners too. They jumped right in it with everybody else. They were in on it with everybody else. So, of course, I mean, this is how it is with among Asians. White folk drop nuclear bombs on them. And do you see Asians making cartoons demonizing white people? I want y'all to think about this for a damn moment. When you all watch your anime and your manga, do you see Native Americans making cartoons that demonize demonize white people, that should make mock white people? I can take you on Netflix right now and show you half a dozen shows where the black character is always the butt of the jokes and made to be an incompetent buffoon and clown. Japanese folk got nuclear bombs dropped on them by white people, and that didn't make them say, you know what, we got more in common with Africans. That made them deify white people. They didn't take any offense at getting nuclear bombs dropped on them. The people that they have animosity toward are black folk, people they never even met. They never even met us, but they have animosity with us. The white folk who drop bombs on them, those are the ones they cool with. So we have to understand these other groups, brother, they don't respect anything but power. We walking up to them talking about, we're going to look out for you and hear the French man, damn all that. We need to walk up to them with a language they understand. They don't understand the language of brotherhood. They don't understand the language of compassion. They don't understand the language of sucking up to people. They understand power. That's what they understand. Because we've offered them all these other things. And look what they've done to us. They're not demonizing white folk. They're demonizing the people that they don't even know who are walking up to them talking about friendship and brotherhood. And black folks spent the 60s and the 70s. Bruce Lee became an international star on black people's. Black people sitting up here, we were the people who were the chief proponents carrying kung fu and martial arts and cinema and whatnot. We were the big folk promoting that. And how have they returned that favor to us? Bruce Lee was the last time you saw an Asian sit up here and talk nicely about black folk. Everybody else since then was, all right, to hell with Bruce. We doing this over here. So, no, brother, we've been talking in a language. Malcolm X told us, you got to talk in a language they understand. You can't talk to them in a foreign language. You got to talk to them in a language that they actually understand. We've been talking stupid in a language that we hope that they understand. We need to talk to them in a language they actually get. Thank you very much for giving us a call. Let me get a caller from area code 773. You're on Live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where you're calling from?
TVA, this is Chris Thomas. How you doing?
Chris Thomas calling out of where?
Oh, sorry. Calling out of Chicago, Illinois.
Chris, how's Chicago? What's on your mind?
I just wanted to say, man, I'm going to keep supporting you, especially I want to get that Chicago billboard up, and I'm going to keep using my unemployment check to pay that, and I want the family to know that this is not a one-time thing. So, you know, we're not hoping to get this billboard up for only a month, that we need to continue to support. And that's all I want to say. D1.
Well, Black First Brother, thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Please do give us a call again. Thank you for your support on that. I want to let you all know as a brief reminder here, if you missed us last night, and if you did, what the hell were you doing? I am officially moving forward. I mean, I really was just going to stop with New York, quite frankly. But I'm officially moving forward with getting up more billboards in more places so that we can go ahead and spread the word about this. So I'm officially getting that together. I always said that if I had more places to go to or whatever, it would be Chicago and Atlanta. So that's really what I'm looking at right now, is to get these billboards, probably the reparations billboards up there. But the reparations is good, but I also want to do something as far as addressing your mayors. Keisha Bottoms and Lori Lightfoot have been the bed wenches and handmaidens of white supremacy in these areas. They have been the Negro front people for the purposes of getting you to be distracted while they do the white master's bidding. So I would really want billboards that specifically mention them by name and take them to task. So that's what we're working on in Chicago. If you haven't been to my Facebook group, if you're not a member of my Facebook group, you can go there now, the official Jason Black group, and you can vote on it. People from Chicago and Atlanta, at the top of the page, it should be a pinned post that has two links, one for where you can vote for the Chicago billboards and a second one where you can vote for the Atlanta billboards. You can go ahead and check that out, and you can put in your vote if you live in those areas. If you don't bother voting. But if you live in those areas, you can vote for the location of where you want the billboards to be. Also, I'm just letting you all know this will be very ambitious, but I am going to also move forward with a billboard for Breonna Taylor. This will probably be the most ambitious one I've done. It's going to be a fight because usually, just in all honesty, these groups don't like it when I put up these billboards. They don't like me naming people's names, especially if they're the victims of police violence, because quite frankly, and this is what they told me, they have told me that they are afraid that billboards of the type that I want to put up with these people's names will incite violence, will incite uprisings. They've outright told me this. Lamar has outright told me this, that, you know, they really try to keep them things neutered and watered down because they are afraid that galvanizing support is going to lead to more things. So it's going to be a fight, but we got time. And unfortunately, we have time because they haven't indicted her killers. Now, if they indict the killers, I'd have time for something else. Be that as it may, we are going to go ahead and get on that as well, because Breonna Taylor really is emblematic and symbolic of so many things. She's symbolic of so many things. This is a Black woman who was naked, 100% completely nude and naked in her apartment, and the police kicked in the damn front door, shot her 8 times. Let's be very clear. And it wasn't that they were not aware of what they were seeing. When they tried to kick in the door, her boyfriend, Mr. Walker, did what a sensible person is supposed to do when people are kicking in your front door and aren't identifying themselves. He attempted to defend her. He shot 1 time. It hit the cop in the leg, they claim. Everybody agrees he only shot once. They came around the corner and started unloading. He shot once, and they unloaded on the first person they saw. So they saw her clear enough to shoot her 8 times. Not because she was armed, but because we are here to present white supremacy. So for that purpose, I am going to get this going. Now, by the way, you don't see your LGBT Gay Lives Matter front groups. You don't see your A-dunce people who want to try to make money off of conferences in Louisville. You don't see your A-dunce people getting out here and saying, hey, we need to put in some work out here. You don't see that happening. That falls to the black media. All the people who give lip service to these things, you don't see them right now. There's a reason why you don't see them. Understand that. There's a reason why you don't see them. Everybody gets straight on that. Going back to the phone lines here, let me get a caller from area code 202. You're on Live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, Mr. Black, how you doing, man? This is Buck Horst from D.C., man. I respect everything that you're talking about. At the same token, man, what's happening is that what I recognize is that the brothers, man, they got to recognize, man, that we got to buck up and do the right thing, man. That's all. We got to save our communities. There's no one else that's going to allow us to do this, that, and the third. I mean, in the name of the great God, man, ain't no doubt about that, man. And it's happening right now. Everything is prophesied up in the Bible. So it's happening. So we got to do the right thing, and we got to be straight, and we got to make sure that we maintain our communities. And this is all, man. Ain't no extra questions about this shit. You know, I read the prophecies and this, that, and the third or whatever. So my thing is, man, this DC, man, this Buckhorse, man, this is real. We got to understand this. Thank you. Brother,
well, thank you very much for giving us the call tonight. Let me get a caller from area code 347. You're on Live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, sir. My name is Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, where are you calling from? Emmanuel from the Bronx. What's on your mind?
Bronx, New York. You hear me?
Yes. What's on your mind?
Yes. I'm calling. I have two questions. I'll go. First off, I saw a story from the Washington Post. I saw somebody talking about who's the lawyer for Breonna Taylor, who one of the attorneys, and I saw it as Ben Crump. And what the Washington Post said, Ben Crump has become the go-to attorney for racial justice. And I'm just asking, what has he ever accomplished? Because I can't think of one.
Well, when you find one, let me know. What's your next question?
And the next question is, we're talking about Native Americans. Didn't Dr. Claude Anderson file a lawsuit for the Native Americans because they owed black people reparations too?
Well, Dr. Claude Anderson has joined people who have taken several actions about those things. And the problem is we've been stymied from getting to the Supreme Court. Dr. Claude Anderson has actually backed a few lawsuits in particular to go to the Supreme Court. And we've been blocked from going in our cases. Now, everybody else is getting there. But where black folk are concerned, all of a sudden, no, we can't get them to take up the case where we're concerned. So definitely that's why we out here in the streets not right now making things happen. If we cannot get justice within the system, you're forced to get justice outside of the system. Thank you very much for giving us a call. Let me get a caller from area code 843. You're on Live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Illinois, Marcus, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Marcus, Myrtle Beach, what's on your mind?
Yeah, a few weeks back, Jason, you did a broadcast, and it was about Alex Jones, and he went on a screed, a tirade about what lengths he would go to, you know, I think he said he would cook eat some people, and the point is, I admire that almost sociopathic, dogmatic fervor for him and his people and his family. And I tell you what, I wish more foundational black Americans would have that type of dogmatic, stomp down, 10 toes down fervor for our power. I think it's high time that we embrace that side, that that dark side, if you will, that the yin of the yang, the yang of the yin, whichever side is the dark side. We need to embrace that. Because
well, what you're referring to is when I talked to Richard Spencer. I interviewed Richard Spencer for my documentary Race War, and I asked Richard Spencer about winning because nobody had really ever talked to him at length about his views about what he meant about winning. And I said, you once said that you didn't care about competing. You only cared about winning. And you said, absolutely, winning is the only thing that matters. He said, competition is pointless. Competition is stupid. I guess it has some use in an academic sense or for entertainment, but when it comes to power, that's not something you compete for. I'm not interested in competing. I'm interested in winning. Because survival isn't something, now Richard Spencer didn't say this, I'm saying this, but this is what I've been telling Black folk now for years, over a decade and decades offline. Survival isn't up for a vote. Survival shouldn't be up for a vote or a debate or a discussion or, well, if you can hop over this hurdle, then you can live. Other folk don't believe in that. We talk about free markets and capitalism. You live up there in New York. The Asians don't practice capitalism. They don't practice a free market. They practice along ethnic lines. They practice ethnic capitalism, not free market capitalism. They do business with Asians. They get supplies from Asians. They rent to Asians. In New York, Jewish people, if a Jew owns a house, he's going to rent to another Jewish person. And if he has to, well, he'll rent to non-Jewish people, but he will only sell to another Jewish person. For those of my brothers who live out there in Brooklyn, over there on Ocean, that's probably the biggest example I've ever seen, because the police keep having to go out there, by the way. And break up some sort of monopolistic taxes they're using. But over there in Brooklyn off of Ocean, over there on the letter streets, those Hasidic Jews over there, I mean, you can see them pushing their baby strollers at 3 in the damn morning. They hard body about it. They hard body about it. They'll let you know, hey, we're not going to sell the house to nobody but another Jew. We're not going to do it. We're not practicing free market economics. We're practicing Jewish economics. We as Black people, we're the only people who actually practice free market economics. We're the only people who do not practice ethnic protectionism. Why? Because we're the only people who say the word integration. Literally nobody else in America is singing the virtues of integration. We're the only idiots out here whistling that tune and whistling it past the graveyard. So, yeah, Alex is letting you know he's ruthless in the pursuit of survival and empowerment for his people. And as Black folk, yeah, we need to understand there might be a lesson to be learned from that. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Let me get caller from area code 323. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where you're calling from? Caller from area code 323, last try, you're on live. Caller from area code 323 has been abducted. Caller from area code 469, you're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name, where you're calling from?
This is Thomas, caller from Dallas.
Thomas from Dallas, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason, man. Yeah, I just want to let you know, I grew up in Oklahoma, man, Oklahoma City. And the way the Indians run those reservations, man, you ever go to those reservations, man, and you won't see no Indians. You're going to see a bunch of white people. You go to the casinos in Oklahoma, you're going to see white people running the casinos. Shawnee, Oklahoma, Durant, Oklahoma is where the casinos are. You got them in El Reno, Oklahoma. But just go peep it out. You ain't going to see Indians. You might see a few trickled in there here now and then, but white people run the casinos. They got the power over the money, the resources. Don't let nobody fool you. The Indians ain't running nothing. It's those $5 Indians that's running everything in Oklahoma.
Well, okay, it goes a little bit beyond that. I'm very glad you brought up that point right there. Y'all have to understand that when they approved the sovereignty of Native American lands to be able to build casinos, and we'd be saying they're exempt from taxes, and, you know, as long as they abided by certain state laws and whatnot, they understood this. Now, this is the white governments, brother. They basically allowed these casinos to be set up as shell companies. I mean, these casinos are Native American casinos are basically being set up for money laundering because they allowed white investors. So you're supposed to be on sovereign land. You ain't using Native American money. You're using United States dollars to be able to invest in these quote-unquote Indian casinos. So a bunch of white so-called investors went in, and they're basically the ones who are bankrolling the casinos. So what you're talking about is absolutely a fact. And it's not just there. It's everywhere, brother. It's everywhere. You got a bunch in the states that got casino gambling, whatnot, in Louisiana, where I'm from. You know, you have that there. In some states where gambling is technically illegal, they have some Indian casinos. But, yes, these were a bunch of white men they were the ones who were pushing to get those laws changed to allow it to be able to happen in the first place. So I'm not talking about $5 Indians, the folks in the chat rooms. I'm not talking about the $5 Indians. I'm talking about these are straight white folk who are like, okay, these are Indian casinos. This is another place for us to invest, like the mafia did in their casinos in Vegas and whatnot. These are white investors, straight white investors, who are like, okay, we'll go invest in an Indian casino. So they will get one or two people who are actually Native American. Those will be their front people. And next thing you know, they set the thing up on Native American land, and boom, no taxes, so on and so forth. Whole new set of rules we running by over here. So these Native American casinos for these white investors, I'm not talking about $5 Indians, I'm talking about these are regular white corporations, investors, you know, bundlers who've gotten together to bankroll these things. These guys, in a lot of cases, I mean, the tax burden ain't nearly what it otherwise would be. They're making money hand over fist. They're on Native American land, so they've got sovereignty. They don't have to answer to any government outside the Native Americans, basically. So you're absolutely right. And once you get there, you realize, oh, hell, it's a bunch of white folk running here, working here, and a bunch of white folk running it. Yeah, that was the plan. Now, you let five black folk get together talking about an African casino, and you're going to see what they tell you real quick. Oh, nigga, you ain't going to try that. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Let me get a caller from area code 425. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yes, my name is Beverly. I'm calling from Seattle, Washington.
Hello, Beverly from Seattle. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I grew up in Oklahoma. I'm one of the many black Indians from Oklahoma that's never acknowledged. I grew up in Caddo County, Oklahoma, where the Caddo Indians and the Anadarko Indians that were walked out of Louisiana live. I'm a direct.
Very good. Very good. For those of you who do not know your Louisiana history, you are, for those of you who don't know your Louisiana history, you understand I'm from Shreveport, Louisiana. However, the parish, what the rest of you call counties in Louisiana, we call them parishes. The parish that encompasses Shreveport, the last capital of the Confederacy, by the way, is Caddo Parish, named for the Caddo Haidachi Indians. So she is absolutely correct about that. It's a little bit of a history lesson there for you to be concerned, but yes, she is absolutely correct in what she's saying. I just wanted to put that little addendum in there. Go ahead, sister.
Thank you, sir. That was nice. And my county is considered the Indian capital of the nation. Every year we have a festival late summer where when I was younger, every Indian in our country would show up to my small town. We had teepees from one county to the next county and horses and the whole nine yards. It was like my whole town would just roll back into history. I am very used to all the money that's given for the oil. My high school was on Indian land. We paid Indians for our high school and our stadium. And I'm used to Indian homes and what they pay for those sorts of things. So I'm wondering if, not wondering, what I do know that's happening is the wrap-up of Manifest Destiny here, where you have all of these $5 Indians become Indians, and they do want their benefits for being Indians, while all the regular brown Indians will begin to suffer in a kind of way that they aren't ready for because they are not doing their work. It is very true that I totally have missed them, and all of the protests that we have had, they have been absent. And I knew that they were going to try to piggyback on that, but I wanted the brown Indians to do their work. I knew if they weren't out there doing it, the white Indians would. So, yes, we can see that they have done their work here. So it's not really as it looks, but it is. But it's the bigger picture is the wrap-up of Manifest Destiny. This is happening in Oklahoma will spread to other states.
Well, I mean, they're already this. The whole point of this here is to prep the thing. You got to understand, Brother Neely fully explained this to people succinctly. White supremacy always takes both sides of an argument. They always take both sides of an argument. If you are not, the only thing that neutralizes white supremacy is black empowerment. If you try anything else, they're already set up because they set up the pieces decades and decades ago. When they marched the Native Americans off and whatnot, they were setting this up the whole damn time. When they allowed the Dawes rolls, which allowed white people to be able to buy their way into Native American ethnicity. Why do you think they created the Dawes rolls and made it possible for white people to do that? Because they were already looking forward to, okay, we've won the war, the Indian wars and whatnot. We've won the war. Now we will ensure that we win the peace. By allowing a certain, because you're always going to have a certain segment of white folk that they live on the outskirts of white society, and they'll be willing to go ahead and take that if we incentivize them. And over, you got a Longshanks strategy from the movie Braveheart. You got a Longshanks strategy that over the course of the next century or so, we will breed these dark-skinned Native Americans. We'll breed them out. They'll be gone. We're going to keep them marginalized. They're going to be alcoholics. They're going to be drug addicts. They're going to be stuck out on reservations. And by the way, you know this. I've traveled across the country many times. Folks, if y'all haven't been through an Indian reservation before, go through Texas, go through New Mexico, go through Oklahoma. You will see civilization recede. And by that, I'm talking about now, and if you're from there, you know what I'm talking about. You see, all you see is a telephone pole with electric lines. You just see one. But the big transmission lines you all are used to seeing, you don't see those. And what you'll see is one little old cable coming off the electric lines going way off the road to some travel trailer or some boxcar somewhere. And that's it. Your cell phone reception will go to nothing. You'll have no cell phone reception out there. It's literally like something from the year 1860. It's vast. It's large. It's wilderness. You might see a corner teepee, one of those corner stores, outpost stores or whatever. But as far as what you're accustomed to, that's it. All you see is telephone poles that may run along the roadway or the highway, because they don't really have interstates for that, but the highway, and that'll be it. You are cut off from everything. That's where Native Americans are at today. That's where they at right now. Everybody who can't into that whiteness.
I'm sorry, sir. I actually had to leave the state of Oklahoma to see a real reservation. All the Indians I grew up with were rich. They had money. They had cars. They had houses. And they still do. They didn't pay their car tax. They live on sovereign homes and don't pay property taxes. So they actually have money. They will blow their money, you know, pretty much. But they actually have it. When my friends turned 18, they got their per cap. They were rich overnight. The first time I traveled to Mexico and I saw a real reservation, I cried all the way home. I didn't know Indians actually live like that.
So well, yes, ma'am.
It's a very interesting place. It has this little, you know, Indians live in a certain kind of way, but not all of them live that way in Oklahoma.
Not okay, I didn't say all of them. However, ma'am, I just came back from, please remember, I drive up through there all the time going to Chicago. I just came back through there. So when you cross that state line from Texas up into Oklahoma, no, ma'am. So, yes, you might be able to find some who are living good, but you can find that anywhere as a group.
It could be maybe because of my county is considered the national, you know, a landmark. So it could just be my county in specific.
That's what I'm saying. Once you get outside of the city limits, now if you're somewhere near the city, that might be a different matter. Once you get outside the city limits, for example, if you're going out West Texas, for example, once you get out past, I mean, truthfully, everybody knows civilization out there ends really past. Once you get past Lubbock, it's all bets off.
Right.
Once you get into New Mexico, it's God help you. And through Texas up into Oklahoma, it's going to be all bets off when you go up in there and whatnot. So these are really still what they call flyover country, flatland territories now. Now, once you get into the cities, you might find some folk who are doing good about that. But as a group, and when on their own, the ones who have access to the white privilege, the ones who have access to the white folk, they're going to do okay. The ones who actually have access to that. As far, and now this is another thing I have to talk about here. As far as not having to pay taxes, well, you know, there's a benefit, I suppose, to not taxes if you don't make $36,000 a year. What good is that?
Yes, yes, I understand that. The benefit that the writing is not going to have anything really to do with the small parables.
Well, let me explain. What good does it do for you to have no taxes if you make $40,000, $50,000 a year? What good is that for you to have? So what you need to have is a higher income. So the real question isn't about whether or not they can be given a break here or a break there. The real question is, where does the higher income come from? That's the real question. And if it's not evenly dispersed among everybody, then the next natural question becomes, okay, why is that the case?
I can tell you that really, if they want to blow their per cap, the money that they get when they're 18, a lot of nations in just my county alone could live on that money for quite a while. It's not just some tiny bit of money that they get. My nations in my county are not tied into about a $5 Indians. We are brown Indians, dark black Indians, and, of course, black people we're not really into. We don't really get any benefits. I guess where I was, I can only speak for myself. I didn't want to be part of the Me Too movement, you might say. I'm Indian, too. So I just kind of kept my mouth closed forever, I guess, you might say. But I've always known my history. But, yes, I'm pretty much talking about brown Indians here. The white people in my county can't stand the Indians. These are brown Indians, and they do own that whole county, and they run it.
Well, definitely, like I say, I mean, there are going to be maybe some idiosyncrasies as a group. I've never seen it. I know you got some Native Americans who are living okay. That's okay. But they will be handpicked. As a group, it's going to be tightly controlled by everybody. It's going to be tightly controlled by everyone.
They are tightly controlled. I will say that, you know, but that's just what I grew up with. Yes, when I got out more and got to see other states, I saw exactly what you have described.
Well, certainly, like I say, going forward in the future, they got the fixing to be able to determine who's going to get what. They put this in place a long damn time ago. This is not something that just jumped up out of nowhere. It's not something that just jumped up out of nowhere. This is all part of the plan. It's part of the plan the whole time. We're just the people who are just sitting here at the last minute figuring out what's going on. But
I've always
all
known
been
they were going to wrap up Manifest Destiny, and I've been trying to warn my friends. They weren't really listening. I've been telling them, you got to get out there and do your part, because if you don't, the $5 Indians are going to catch up with you, and it looks like it has happened. Thank you, Mr. Black.
And that was always planned. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight here. Please do give a call again. I'm going to see if I can take one more caller here. Let me get caller from area code 214. You're on live with the Black. What's your name? Where you're calling from?
Good evening. This is Casey from Lancaster, Texas.
Casey from Lancaster, Texas. What's on your mind?
Yes, I just had a question in regards to Breonna Taylor. If I'm not mistaken, I believe you said you were going to go there to address the situation sometime in the near future. And I was just wondering if you've heard of a gentleman by the name of Grandmaster Jay and his organization called NFAC, which stands for the Not Effing Around Coalition. And if you have, I was wondering if you had considered working with him or collaborating with him.
If they are interested in doing that, I'm interested in working with anybody who is for the Black economic, political, and physical empowerment of our people.
Okay. I can tell you that he actually is on YouTube as well as
okay.
Instagram.
Sister, I answered your question. If you're here to promote somebody, they would have to pay for advertising. So if you're interested in if you're interested in promoting something other than what we do here, you can ask for advertising. But as far as you ask me if I'm willing to work with anyone, okay. Now you're breaking off into something else and saying, well, let me put in a plug for someone. Now, you know I don't do that, and you already know this.
Okay, I do apologize. I'm affiliated with him in any way.
All right. Hang up the phone.
All righty. Good night. Bye-bye.
Let's try one more caller here. Let's see if we can get caller from area code 513. You're on live with the Black Panel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Belle from Cincy.
Okay. What was your name again?
Doe. D-O-E. That's my nickname, Doe.
Hello, Doe. And where are you calling from?
Cincinnati.
Doe from
Ohio.
Cincinnati. What's on your mind?
Yes. I'm calling because I thought it was very interesting. The lady a couple callers looked back to see if she was Native American. But I've been listening to all the topics that you talk about. But I mainly wanted to talk about the fact that I found it interesting that you are telling us what that really means when they gave up half of Oklahoma to the natives. And it really is something that was really not what we think it is. And I found it very interesting. And I don't know how to trace back my roots to the Cherokee Indians, because I know my great-great-grandmother was a full-blooded Cherokee. But I have African-American, too. You know, like, I'm black, too. I don't even want to say African-American, so-called African-American. But I am black. So I just want to know how I can trace back my roots to find out more, because I'm trying to find that out, like, who I really am. And I want to know more about how many of us were already here that were so-called, that we are so-called slaves, right, who went on the passage of the boat, who got sent out to Africa, and we came over here thinking we're from Africa, but we're really Native American. Do you know anything about that?
Well, if you're just basically describing a simple family tree tracing. So first and foremost, you need to talk to your folks and your relatives. That's the first thing. Second of all, you're probably going to want to get a DNA test. You can do that through 23andMe, but there are also other companies. They're just the most famous for that. You can go ahead and check in that first just to see what your genetic makeup is. And then last but not least, if you needed to, you could always hire somebody who does genealogy tracing or a private detective, and, you know, to be able to trace your family tree backwards if you needed to find documents and so on and so forth from there. So there are definitely ways to be able to do that. So it sounds like what it's really saying is that not really sure you can get your parents, or you're not sure about your parents' lineage for whatever it may be, but that would be where you want to start.
Yeah, I will. I'm going to start with that because my family vaguely told me recently about my great-grandmother, and I always heard about it when I was a kid, but they never really sat down and talked about the oral history of our family, which I thought was very interesting, so I want to get connected back to that. And I even try to ask my mom, and she doesn't know very much, but my aunt knows more than my mother, so I thought that was interesting.
A lot of black people, unfortunately, once got off the plantations, a lot of black, especially after the so-called sexual revolution, started resorting to a whorehouse culture where they're sitting up here laying up with everybody like they plantation bucks hoes. And, you know, next thing you know, your family is getting all messed up and disseminated and confused and blurred, and nobody's keeping track of anything because nobody keeps track of lineage in a whorehouse. So for those of you who are not interested in subscribing to that, and if you want to have a family as opposed to a bunch of folks breeding, then yes, you're going to have to be able to keep with that. So that may be on you right there. Your mama might have been out here in these streets with the rest of the chicks and stuff when they was following white women. They didn't understand the white women weren't playing the same game you're playing. So you playing her games, and the white woman is playing for power. So it becomes a situation where now she's stuck here with a bunch of kids and no husband and no prospects. And she don't know who she laying up with, and there wasn't DNA tests back then, so she ain't sure which one niggas it was. And now you're in a situation of asking a very simple question to any decent woman. Let's just be totally honest. A woman is supposed to know who got her pregnant. If a nigga done stood up between your legs, you supposed to know who got you pregnant.
I know my mom. I'm talking about my great-grandmother. My great-great-grandmother.
Okay.
Like,
if somebody
she lived to be 93.
If somebody not, baby, this ain't a new thing, knows what I'm saying. If somebody's not giving you straight answers, I want to understand what the reason for the not getting the straight answers might be. But beyond that, the next step for you would be like, okay, I'm through asking nicely. And you can very easily get a genetic test on yourself so you can see the components. And you can start looking to see, okay, let me go see where these pieces line up at. Because if folks are not getting answers, it's either because they don't know or they don't want to tell you. You need to be prepared for a situation where they don't want to tell you for whatever the reason may be, because there may be some unsavory things that you want to dig up, and they have a piece of it, and you're like, that's y'all's problem. So what I'm saying is prepare for that.
Because, you know, when I was a kid, too, before, I'm sorry to cut y'all, but there was a picture on the wall of this woman, and it was a Native American woman, and I used to always stare and look at it, and like, I never knew that that was my great-great-grandmother, and my aunt just told me a year ago. And here I am. I'm in my 40s now, and I'm just now finding out this was a real person that was a family member, and nobody knows where that picture is. And she had this long hair, and it was wrapped up in like a hat. It was on my grandmother's wall at her house.
Well, you got to understand, baby, there might be animosity about that. Have you considered that?
No, I didn't.
I mean, have you considered? She might have took somebody's man, and that somebody wanted her around, and the picture is there, but the rest of the females in the family like, yeah, that's that wench who did X, Y, Z. I mean, have you? This is not new. This is not new. Have you considered that? And it might
no,
sound,
I haven't, but I'm going to look into it.
It might sound humorous the way that I'm saying it, but y'all need to understand that. A lot of us have folk in the family like that. If you're looking at those kind of things, you see somebody's like, this ain't really no straight black person like this. And then you find out, okay, what are they doing there? How'd they get there? You know, then you start realizing, baby, there's a story behind this. So the world didn't just start with you. It didn't just start with me. There's a story behind these things. And there's really nothing new under the sun. It's been going on ever since procreation.
Yeah.
And certainly since tribalism and the picture. You don't know if nobody's telling you how the picture got there. The damn picture got made, but nobody can tell you how it got there. They can't. They don't. They know who it is, but they don't want to talk about who it is. There's a reason for that. Know who that is, but they don't talk about it. It's like, yeah, I don't know if I want to step off into that. It's not because they don't know. And I guarantee you, in every family, there's a dirty little secret. There's 4 or 5 niggas who know what the reason is, and they like, yeah, we don't talk about her because she broke the family.
It was a huge, beautiful picture. I thought it was a piece of art. It was a huge picture. And I was like,
no, I mean, she might have been Native American side chick, and let's just say it like this. She might have been the broad that he actually loved. And he was like, okay, you know, he might have had some babies with her, especially me. That was the chick from the other side of town. And he was like, yeah, you know what? I mean, yeah, I was attached to your grandmama, but I wasn't really feeling it like this. This is the broad I really wanted to be with. I mean, just think, let me just give you a real-life example, P. Diddy. If P. Diddy could get with J-Lo tomorrow, he would. All that talk about Kim Porter and whatnot. This nigga didn't honor Kim Porter. He didn't. He mentioned the woman's name until she died, and he could get some attention for it. If he could get with J-Lo tomorrow, he wouldn't. There'd be a big ass picture of her sitting on a fireplace. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Somebody, tell me I'm lying if I am. Tell me I'm lying.
No, you're not lying, but it's funny the way you say it.
Ray J. Do you think that Ray J, if Kim Kardashian offered Ray J an affair, I'm talking about Jada Pinkett, August Alsina style, if she offered him that and whatnot and he could get her pregnant one time, do you think there wouldn't be a big ass photo of her sitting over his big screen TV?
Yeah.
So let me understand this right here. I don't want to get into the business tonight, but I'm going to just get off a little bit of the business. Baby, men like trophies, okay? Y'all got to understand that. Men like Kobe's, we always have. This ain't something that just started with your Aunt Pappy. This ain't something that just started with your grandma's generation or your great-grandma's generation. We love trophies. And if you see a picture of someone you don't recognize in your house, that's somebody's trophy. Now, he might have really loved it, or it might have been something he just had, you know, passing through. But if there's a trophy sitting in your house or your mama's house, if there's a trophy sitting there or somebody you don't recognize, somebody loved that trophy. Let's just keep it real.
Yeah.
So I want you to understand, if you're going to go digging into this and start digging up dirt, which is what it sounds like you're trying to do, if you're going to go digging into this, you need to be aware of everything you're about to go digging into, because you're about to go investigating somebody's trophy, and all of a sudden, there's a big trophy over the mantle, and nobody wants to discuss where it came from. And what that tells you is that as soon as you get 2 concrete answers about that woman, everybody's going to start trying to shame you and tell you why you're doing this. But the niggas who claim to you that know what she's about, all the folks who are going to tell you they don't know what it's about are going to start telling you you shouldn't be looking at this. Well, nigga, I thought you didn't know what it was about. I thought you didn't know anything. Why are you going to tell me to stop if you don't know anything? It sounds like you know a lot more than you do. You know what?
I'm
going
to get to the bottom of it, because I got my cousin's phone number, so I'm going to call him. But I had the next question for you before we go. I've been studying about the Native Americans, okay? And I've been studying about the different ones up in up north, and they've been they had YouTube videos, and they've been talking about this whole thing where some of the so-called slaves, when some of the natives got enslaved and were put on ships, and they went to Africa, so-called Africa now, and then they brought them back after so many years and made them think that they were from Africa. How true is that? Because I want to know how much you've been studying, and have you heard anything about that some of the slaves were actually natives?
Well, yeah, I mean, what they mean about that is the fact that you had Africans who were able to travel across the ocean to America first. So when you take a look into mm-hmm. that, in a lot of cases, we're really dealing with people who are of direct African lineage and whatnot, and not just addicts who may have crossed the Bering Strait and come down,
yeah.
you know, through Alaska and Canada. What white folk mm-hmm. would tell you is that the Native Americans, America, Native Americans, Eskimos, the indigenous people in Canada, those are all Asiatics who came across the Bering Strait before it got mm-hmm. taken under by water. So that's how they came from that area of the world over here. But the truth of the matter is you had a bunch of people who are of African descent. Anybody who's in Hidden Colors knows about that. But yeah, people of African descent in those areas already. So back then, it wasn't a big issue. It wasn't until white supremacy decided to divide up the world that all mm-hmm. of a sudden it became necessary to de-Africanize these people. It became necessary to yeah. de-Africanize the Japanese. It became necessary to de-Africanize the Filipinos. It became necessary to de-Africanize all of these areas. And of course, when they got to America, and remember, from Abraham Lincoln on, you had some looking white folk who at the time were acknowledged as having Negro lineage through Native Americanness. So back then, they didn't make no bones about it. Well, these niggas, it wasn't until it was time to de-Africanize these areas that all of a sudden they got being given a distinct identity. And the next thing you know, here comes Dawes' role to say, oh, there's no Africanness in you. Matter of fact, you're closer to white folk. Who cares if it's a lie? This is about this is not about the past. This is about the future. So we're going to rewrite the rule of the past for the purpose of taking over the future. But yes, just understand what you are witnessing is the Africanization of these people and these areas. Mm. That's the real reason for it. So that going forward, now you create a new paradigm. But yes, I mean, those things are true. So genetically, we as black people, you know, for example, if you go take a look at the story of Bass Reeves, the greatest U.S. lawman who ever lived, white folk don't like to talk about Bass Reeves. Bass Reeves one of the reasons why he was such an envied lawman was because he was able to, when he got run out of the U.S. military of Civil War, he went off with the Native American, I want to say he was off with the Native American woman, and he learned to speak their language. So he was bilingual. He was bilingual. And, but here's the thing. He wasn't the only one. So what we noticed with the white folk, they showed up and killed them. But with the black folk, they were able to intermarry and everything else. So we were not strangers to them the way that Caucasians were. So what this tells you is this isn't new. What this tells you is that this isn't new. This is not new. What has happened is Native Americans have a specific genetic connection to this land. It has been necessary to divorce them from that genetic legacy so that they can no longer demand anything else. But you just saw in the Supreme Court where they've got the ability to demand things. So it's necessary to genetically divorce them. With black people, we are the only people, as I've taught you all, we are the only people who are owed specific things by this government, that we have specific, tangible, legitimate grievances that have not been paid. So you can't genetically divorce us from that. There's too many of us, it's too long, and nothing's been done about it. So you can't do us like the Native Americans and geographically displace us. You already did that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you can't genetically displace us because there's too many of us, and you can't do that because we genetically annihilate you. So the only thing you left is to legally divorce us. That's the nature of the game now. That's the nature of the game now.
I want a separation. I feel like we've been with an abusive boyfriend. I ain't going to call him a husband. Abusive boyfriend. He mistreated us, dogged us out. Then he comes back to us and says, I love you, I love you. And we keep going back to him. And he don't have no love for us at all. And I want separation. I want complete separation.
Well, you know what? I can understand that. In a sense, white supremacy is global, and unfortunately, you've got a world that identifies with it, because now you got whites, Asians, Latinos, Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's on white supremacist train now. So I don't how much of a I don't know if physical separation is even an option anymore, although certainly we have as much of it as we can. But certainly social and cultural separation, certainly, because we have had all integration has been a weapon used against us. It hasn't been something used to help. It's been a weapon used against us to the extent that now history is being weaponized against us. And if we demand integration so much, are you willing to give up your history? Thank you very much for giving us a call here tonight, and please do
thank
give us a call again.
I appreciate it. I sure will. Thank you.
This is the Black Channel. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, Mr. Jason Black. I'm very glad to have you all with us here this evening as we're going to go ahead and wrap tonight's program. We've been able to touch on a lot of things here tonight, and it's been necessary for us to discuss this because as we're going forward, I want you and your kids and everybody else to be aware that this is the environment that you're going into. In this environment here, they're digging up the spoils for the next 500 years. If there was anybody who doubted me about that when I said it's being proven true now. This is not setting up the board for the next 5 years. This is setting up a board for the next 1,000 years. Never known a time where you had anything. There's never been a time where you had anything. There's never been a time where you possessed anything. There's never been a time that you owned anything. That's just it. Welcome to the world. And I want you to be able to track this so that you can understand you can stop it where it's at. If you're willing to. If you're new here to the Black Channel, I want to help you, welcome you to David and the Intelligent Black Thought. We do this every weekend. Over 99,000 subscribers and rising. We are not a little thing, so I definitely want you to be able to join us. Click that red subscribe button and also click that yellow notification bell so that you can stay up to date when we show up here every weekend. It is certainly going to be something you want to keep up with as the events keep playing out. Watch out for our billboards going around America. And if you haven't looked at our Facebook group, the official Jason Black group, you want to check that out as well. They're putting the polls about where you want the billboards to be up. If you live in Chicago or Atlanta, you can vote on those. We're all working on one going up in Louisville, Kentucky. It's definitely going to be something you want to keep track of. If you're interested in our documentary work, you can go to our website, blackchannelfilms.com. It's blackchannelfilms.com. Check out our documentaries, 7 a.m., Gentrified, Nick Cleansing American Style, Race War, all available on sale, all available on Amazon, all available on DVD, all available on streaming, and all available now. That is blackchannelfilms.com, blackchannelfilms.com. And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the BlackChannel.net radio program, For Real, For Real. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, Mr. Jason Black. And until next time, my brothers and my sisters from around the world, remember, Black is the future, and the future is uncompromising.